Hey everyone, welcome to episode 43 of the I'm Still Standing podcast. Today, your guest is yours truly. It's just me today, and we'll be talking about anxiety and how you can be free from it. As most of you, or many of you know, I lived with anxiety for 20 years of my life, from the ages of 6 or 7 to my mid-20s. So it's something that I'm really passionate about sharing, how you can be free from it. This episode has been sponsored by the second annual I'm Still Standing Women's Retreat. The retreat will be held from Friday, May 29th till Saturday, May 30th at the Guelph Bible Conference Center. Tickets go on sale in January. As most of you know, I lived with anxiety and panic attacks for about 20 years of my life, and I've talked about it generally, but I don't feel like I've ever spoken about it in detail. And I think it's really important that I do share more about what anxiety can do to us, what it tried to do to me, because so many of us still battle it and you might not be sure what to do. I wasn't sure what to do. I truly believe that anxiety, also known as fear, is one of the most used tactics by the enemy against us. I have my own experience, but I also have experience helping others in my previous life as a counselor and social worker. And the way I look at anxiety is that it's unfounded fear. It's not a fear of something like, you know, something that is might actually happen, not fear of, let's say, you have a fear of a dog because your neighbor has a vicious dog and you don't like being around that dog, but you're cool around other dogs. It's just that one. That's probably a legitimate fear. Anxiety is an unfounded fear. I really like this acronym, false evidence appearing real. That is, I think, a really, really good definition of anxiety or fear, because it's something that is not real. It's a lie. And we know that the enemy likes using lies. All right, so there's many types of anxiety. I'll give you some examples. I had to pull out my DSM-4 from my psychology degree, which stands for the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's a tool that mental health professionals use to diagnose disorders. So I'll give you some examples. Generalized anxiety. So generalized anxiety is excessive worry occurring more days than not. It's something that you feel like you cannot control. So you're constantly worrying. You're worrying more days then you are not worrying. PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorder. This is anxiety that stems from an experience, so a traumatic experience, and it's the aftermath of that experience. There are also phobias. So a phobia is a fear of a specific object or situation. So you might have a fear of spiders, you might have a fear of going outside or being in public spaces, or a fear of public speaking. Those are phobias because they're specific. And there are others like obsessive compulsive disorder that falls under anxiety disorders, substance induced anxiety as well. When I used to practice counseling, I had several clients that had substance induced anxiety. So, you know, all of these examples, and there are definitely more, these are just a few examples of experiences of anxiety. All of these examples show us that there are different reasons for anxiety. There are also physiological reasons for anxiety. Sometimes people have medical conditions that create anxiety because of different neurological reasons. So our brains are affected by maybe a disorder, a physical disorder. For me, the kind of anxiety I had was generalized anxiety. This was never officially, I shouldn't say it was never officially diagnosed. It was in a way by my general practitioner, like my family doctor. But at the same time, a category, like the specific kind of anxiety was never put on it. I was just told, you know, when I was younger, I think I was around 12 or 13, I can't remember, that I had anxiety. And if I wanted medication, I think it was anxiety and depression that they acknowledged. And if I wanted medication, I just never knew what kind of anxiety it was, or that I didn't even know there were different types of anxiety. To be honest, none of that was explained to us. I was just asked if I wanted medication. So a psychological assessment was never done, really. Like, anyways, so that was my experience. But in being a social worker, you know, having a degree in psychology, having to use the DSM, I assessed myself, and also helping psychologists do psychological assessments for clients, I came to realize I actually had a, like, if I were to be diagnosed by a psychologist and not just a quick diagnosis by an MD, I would probably be diagnosed with generalized anxiety, because it was something that from around the age 6 or 7, I don't think there was a traumatic event that occurred, at least not one that I can remember. I just worried every day, almost every day of my life. And my mom talks about that too, that around 6 or 7, she just remembers me just changing drastically, and that I would always worry. And that's how she would describe me, like, you know, Jem worries, or Jamila, as my mom calls me, my family calls me, worries. So that was my experience. For me, yes, as I said, it affected me in school. It affected every area of my life. I would not speak up in school. When I was younger, in my early, like, elementary school days, the teacher actually, my mom tells me, the teacher would actually ask, like, is there something wrong with me? I guess, you know, if, like, developmentally, or if I have a speech issue. Like, they actually thought I had either a speech impediment or a developmental issue, because I would not speak at all. I was so crippled by fear. As I got older, it kind of morphed into, I still had generalized anxiety, but I started having panic attacks. So a panic attack is a change in your physiological, so your body, physiological being. So I would have, like, a racing heart, heavy breathing. It would feel like, you might describe it as, like, it felt like having a heart attack, shaking, like, all of that. And it would happen, I think, at its height, late teens, early 20s, it would happen several times a week. I remember some of the worst panic attacks actually being after my father passed away. And I think that, you know, was just a trigger for me, definitely, his passing and that whole experience. Of course, was very difficult, but I remember after that having panic attacks in the subway. So being underground became very uncomfortable for me. I couldn't breathe, you know. It just started to manifest in a way that completely crippled me. Even though it was like that as I was growing up, as I got older, it just got worse and worse and worse. And I really think that when we don't address the dysfunctions in our lives, they do get worse. They do get worse as time goes on. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what works for me. But you know what? Let's wheel and come again. So what made me decide to actually start addressing it? To be honest, I never prayed about it. I never even thought that it was something that I could change, because it was so much a part of me. I mean, having anxiety from the age of 6 or 7 years old, I really didn't remember a life before that, to be honest. But what triggered the change was my friend / mentor / intercessor, Gloria. I met her. So I started going to a new church after my husband and I got married, met her. And we're just sitting at coffee. And if you heard this story, sorry, you're going to hear it again, because it's a really vital part. And it shows how it's important to hold each other accountable. So we were just at coffee, and I casually was talking about, you know, a panic attack or anxiety or something like that, casually. Like, it wasn't a big deal to me, because all my friends, everyone knew I'm, you know, Jem is anxious. She worries a lot. It was just a common fact. And she was like, hold on. Are you cool with living like this? Like, you don't have to live like this. And I, to be honest, like, when she said that, I was like, oh, like, I've never really thought about that. Of course, I was uncomfortable living like this, and I knew that it wasn't okay, but I never thought about what life could be outside of living in such crippling fear. And she really challenged me that day and continued to challenge me as time went on to not accept that. So she literally asked me, like, is this something you want to change? And I said, if it could be changed, yes. So what worked for me? The number one thing, let's say the first thing that worked, was realizing that I couldn't be passive anymore and that I had to take action if I wanted to see change. War was necessary and that there was no way around it. And I think for many years, I was just sitting back believing, as many of us believe, that when you're a believer, that you don't really have to do anything. Life is easy. You can just lay back. But I learned the hard way. And after many, many years, that if you're a believer, you're called to war. And that's a fact. That is a fact. And this experience really taught me that and I remember when I first started going to my church as well, my pastor said something that God really highlighted to me. He was just like, imagine that you're in a war, like a spiritual war. Just imagine that you are just getting hit with darts, getting slashed by a sword, and you're just chilling watching YouTube. You know, like, and when I could actually really picture it, because that's what I was doing. Like, I was literally getting attacked on all ends. My mind was completely warped, but I was not taking any action at all to war against what was happening in my life and in my mind. And I was like, no, I realized that this life of a believer is not actually passive. It is complete action. And when I realized that, a lot of things started to change. The second thing is having someone to hold you accountable. That's really important, because when you're on this journey, it's easy to just give up. It's hard. It's not easy. You need someone to hold you accountable, to text you or to call you and be like, okay, so how are you feeling? What's going on? Are you declaring the scriptures? Are you going to counseling? Are you taking your medication? If you have to take medication, all of those things. The third thing was counseling. I was referred to a really amazing Christian counselor. Unfortunately, he's retired now. I tried to email him the other day, like, hey. But he's like in his late 80s, so he's retired. But it's our responsibility to do your research, to find someone. I'm still looking for someone to start getting some support regarding this transition into ministry. But I encourage you to find a Christian counselor, but someone who is skilled at the clinical aspects of psychology and is experienced in the spiritual aspects, because both of those things go hand in hand. And no shame at all. Like, I don't want you to feel any shame about getting help. You need someone to, if you don't have someone in your life, it's okay to hire a counselor. And sometimes it's a lot better to have someone that doesn't necessarily know every detail of your life or intimately, like a friend or a family member. It's great to have someone who has clinical experience, who went to school for this, who has experience in both psychology and spiritual issues, because they'll be able to help you in ways that a family or friend cannot help you. So I really encourage you to look for that. Number four, exercise. Although I've fallen off of that currently, but I know for me that the physical symptoms of anxiety, so the heart racing, the jitteriness, the general anxiety symptoms, so not the panic attack symptoms, more like the general anxiety symptoms for me, if I don't output a certain amount of energy throughout the week, I can feel it in my body. I start feeling like there's just extra energy floating around my body. I feel jittery. So exercise for me helps with that. It's not a complete solution, but it's part of your care plan, or it can be part of your care plan. Number five, which I think is the main thing, is declaring scripture. This completely changed the way I live my life. The Bible tells us that the word is a sword. The word is a sword. When you are warring, so you're in a war. If you're experiencing anxiety or depression, and I forgot to mention as well, you can also have multiple mental health concerns at the same time. i.e. it's what mental health professionals call, you might hear them call it comorbidity. I experienced that. I lived with depression, and I lived with depression as well as anxiety, although the anxiety was a lot more pronounced. So that's what a doctor or a mental health professional will call comorbidity. So scripture declaration. You're declaring scripture into the atmosphere. You can't do it in your head. For years when I was younger, I would just read the Bible in my head, and my mom would say, read it out loud, but I didn't really understand why. So when my friend explained it to me in a way I could understand, that when you read the Bible out loud, so the word is a sword. If you are in a war, how are you going to be warring in your head? It doesn't really make sense. You need to put the word out into the atmosphere, right? So just imagine wielding a sword in the atmosphere. It has to be in the atmosphere. And that changed my life. When I tell you it changed my life, that is one of the things I want you to remember, is that when you're declaring scripture, it has to be out loud. Because all of these scriptures I've been reading for all of my life beforehand, and I only saw a change happen when I started warring out loud, when I started wielding my sword in the atmosphere. So I'm going to share some scriptures that helped me. Some of actually had about 3 packets of scriptures that I would go through every day. I know it's a lot, but this thing is going to take effort. You're not going to be able to be laid back when you're warring for your mind. So I had about 3 packets of scriptures concerning different things, concerning anxiety, concerning depression, concerning purpose, and I think there was another one. So I collected scriptures with the help of people and the internet, of course, that had to do with each of these topics, and I would read them out loud every day. But I would also read out loud specific words or specific scriptures God highlighted to me in a particular situation. So every day, every morning, I would read out these scriptures. But then let's say I'm in the middle of having a panic attack, I would have a scripture or 2 memorized that I would say out loud in that moment. And for me, when I would have a panic attack during that season, I would say out loud, even if it was quietly, or I would, if I'm at work or something, I would have gone to the, if I was at work, I would have gone to the bathroom or in a quiet space and just declare it. For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I would say that out loud. So I encourage you to collect some scriptures, to write them down or type them out or put them on your phone in your notes, so that somewhere where it's easily accessible. So I'll share a few of the scriptures that I found extremely helpful in this battle. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Philippians 4 verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give me," well, I already said that one, but it's worth saying again, "For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind." And I would also change, when I was saying it, I would put my name in it. So I would say, "For God did not give Jem a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Philippians 4 verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Something I would also use, and I will link this to the podcast notes, there is a website of scriptures concerning who God says I am. And I love this because it reminds us who God says we are, because we are not fearful. We are not worthless. We are not hopeless. It reminds us. So I love this website. And I would also often, in addition to the scriptures, I would often read these out loud. The website is, if you type in "who God says I am" scriptures, I'm almost certain it will pop up, but I will link, I'll put the link in the description box as well. So I'll read a few of them. I am a child of God. I am a branch of the true vine and a conduit of Christ's life. I am a friend of Jesus. I have been justified and redeemed. My old self was crucified with Christ, and I am no longer a slave to sin. I will not be condemned by God. I've been set free from the law of sin and death. As a child of God, I am a fellow heir with Christ. I've been accepted by Christ. I've been called to be a saint. In Christ Jesus, I have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Another thing that's really cool about this resource is that every declaration has a Bible, where it comes from in the Bible. So that's really cool. When our lives are crippled by fear, it's near impossible to walk in who God called us to be. And I know that's how it was for me. Like, God called me to help people heal from their past, but how could I do that if I was still ensnared in mine? How could I speak at a conference if I was too scared to? And honestly, I spoke at a conference, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. I would be throwing up. There's no way. There's just no way it would happen. No way. Even doing this podcast, the fear would have had me so crippled, I don't even think I would be able to release one episode, much less 43. Having people hear my voice, like, I had all these unfounded fears, all these lies that I would believe. And our minds can lie to us. Our minds can lie to us. When we believe unfounded fears, we believe the enemy's lies. And when we do that, we can't even understand 1% of the plans God has for us because your mind is warped. I know that's how it was for me. My mind was so warped. There's no way I'd be able to believe any of this stuff. The same friend that I mentioned that helped me through this, she's a seer, she's an intercessor, and the Lord gave her a dream about me, and we're talking about, like, the future, and, like, what God's plans were, and just, you know, trying to align in prayer, and scripture, and everything like that, and she said she didn't even want to, at that point, she didn't tell me what she saw in the dream, because she thought it would scare me, and honestly, that's true, because even what's happening in my life now, living so gripped by fear, I would be so scared. It would have made me sick thinking about, hold on, I'm supposed to be speaking and all of that when I was so gripped by fear. So gripped by fear. It just wouldn't work. I would be like, Lord, no. It wouldn't work. So it will take a lot of work, and because the battle is in the mind most of the time, it will take a lot of work. I'm not here to tell you that it's going to be easy, because it's not going to be easy at all. Warfare will become just a regular part of your life, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And it will be for a season. You're not always going to be in warfare. It will be for a season, but it's something that you have to get used to, because we can't be passive in this walk. When you realize that there is in fact peace available to you, when I realized that I didn't have to live this way, I honestly believed the lie that I had to always live this way, like that there was no other option. I never even thought about it. Can you imagine that? I never even thought of a different way of living or a different way of being. When you think of it, is war easy? When you think of natural war, it's not easy. And neither will warring for your mind be easy. You have to renew your mind daily, multiple times a day if you need to, until this battle is done. We are called to make every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3-6, the Bible tells us, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." I encourage you to go to God in prayer and ask Him to reveal to you how or if there are any dysfunctions going on in your heart or your mind, to reveal and to remove and to give you insight and resources on how to deal with it. strongly encourage you to do that, because a lot of times we are living in a condition that we don't have to live in. And I am a complete testament of that. 20 years of living like this, you know, but I digress. It is completely possible to live another life, and no shame if it takes you longer to get healed from it, because that there is no shame in that. Sometimes, you know, like the woman with the issue of blood, it took 12 years. For me, it took 20 years. Everybody's journey is different, and God takes us on different journeys. But the thing is, he walks with us. So there is no shame. I know sometimes we're scared to be disappointed when we say, okay, we're going to work on this. We're scared that nothing is going to happen. But that, again, is fear. That, again, is fear. What if I said, you know what? I've lived like this for 20 years. Nothing's going to happen. I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I can guarantee that I would not be talking to you right now. I'd be where I was 7 years ago. So I strongly encourage you to challenge those fears and challenge that thought that, oh, you know what? I'm not even going to try because it's not going to work. But what if it does? I'm going to pray for you guys right now. Lord God, I just ask you to touch every single heart and mind that's listening to this podcast. Every single person that is experiencing anxiety, depression, any other mental health concern, any other challenge in their life, Lord God. I ask you to reveal to them that there is hope in you. That there is hope in you. Teach them how to war effectively. Teach them how to use your word as a sword in their lives, Lord God. I ask that the spirit of peace surround them. That you would send people, counselors, accountability partners, people to help water the seed within them that you've planted. Lord God, I give you thanks for your peace. Thanks for your ability to give us a sound mind, power, and love. Lord God, I ask that every single person listening would remember not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to present their requests to you. Thank you so much, Lord. We give you thanks, because above all else, you are still good. You are still good. Doesn't matter what we're going through, you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. You do not have to live this way. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or you just want to chat and, you know, ask me a few questions, please email me. I am completely open to speaking to you, because I truly believe that a lot of us are being held back by fear. And it doesn't have to be this way. So email me at info@jemjackson.com. So info@jemjackson.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. Standing for so long, I forget I stand tall. On top of thorny paths, I do my heart lies. But I'm standing. I'm standing tall, I'm standing tall.